I've got a quick question for you, alright? I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.
So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, senior writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, author of How to Fight Presidents, and to be honest, senior writer with senioritis, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, you figure out the rest.
Hey everybody, I'm Soren Bowie. I work right for the show American Dad that's on TBS. You might be familiar with it. Anytime you've walked into a hotel and you've turned on the television, yeah, that's my show. That one right there. The one that you're just going to kind of have on in the background. And that's really my wheelhouse.
Wow,
just
you write
on in the background.
You write Impractical Jokers? That's nuts.
Yeah, you'd think, I don't know, I feel like TBS would be mad at some point with how much we make fun of Impractical Jokers in our show. Like it's Klaus's favorite show on the planet.
Oh, and Klaus blows.
Yeah, Klaus is
canonically.
They don't seem to mind though. So, and I'm Impractical Jokers will outlive us. Impractical Jokers will outlive the sun. Like they will, yeah. They will be here after the Earth has been pulled into the fiery abyss. Somehow that show will still be on.
I have found myself enjoying it every once in a while. I don't want to completely shit on it, but I do feel like the first time I saw it was when I was visiting my parents. It was just on, and they loved it, and we watched a few episodes, and it felt like it might have been like 3 or 4 hours into a marathon where I was just like, so is it ever not on? Is it just, I don't, when did they do all this? When did they make all these episodes? And then in the commercials, they were like, if you like Impractical Jokers, come see them on tour. I'm like, okay.
How?
What? No.
Yeah. I don't totally understand their schedule either, because I don't understand how their seasons break down either. Cause yeah, the show is, it never ends.
Yeah.
And if you've ever watched it, I would say it's actually a pretty good gym watch.
Yes.
If they've got, they've got to have, the subtitles. Because some of it I'm very lost on, which is surprising that I would be so lost on some of these intricate flip pranks. But generally, a lot of what they're doing is visual gags. Like they're going into a work interview and they're riding in on like a moped or something like that into the office. And then, most of it is just watching these guys try not to laugh. And fuck it, that's infectious. Yeah. It's goddamn infectious.
Thanks to Truebill for supporting our podcast. From forgotten free trials to automatic renewals, when big companies keep charging you, Truebill is your secret weapon to save you money on subscriptions you don't need. Go right now, truebill.com/QQ. It could save you thousands a year.
Thanks to Backbone for supporting Quick Question. Backbone is the newest game-changing essential that transforms your iPhone into a handheld console so you can play anywhere, anytime. Go to backbone.com/QQ now to order your Backbone, and for a limited time, get free access to over 350 console games and perks, plus free subscription to Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, Apple Arcade, and Google Stadia Pro. But this is only for a limited time when you go to our link, backbone.com/QQ.
New sponsor alert! Thanks to our new sponsor, Factor. Factor delivers delicious, fresh, never frozen meals that are ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes. Head to go.factor75.com/QQ130 and use code QQ130 to get $130 off across 6 boxes. I'm very curious how this specific foursome sold this show to anyone. Where it's like, hey, you know hidden camera shows, and you know like Jackass, you know prank shows. But picture that with like, I don't know, these 4 40-year-old Jersey dads.
Also, they are not good at keeping a straight face. So, no. What do you think? You want to do it? they blow pretty much every prank that they want to do. Is that is that up your alley?
What's your background? Writing, comedy, acting, you stand-ups? No, none of it. We're just some guys, and we're here now. Give us a show.
I can make a pretty good Sicilian pie. Is that sweeten the deal? Yeah, I don't know how that shows on the air. But you know, it's part of the family. So absolutely. I love it.
Speaking of family, I mentioned I had senioritis earlier, and it's because as of this recording, I am 2 days away from, basically a day and a half away from a 2 week hiatus, our big summer break that we always get around August, September. So I've got some nice time with family in North Carolina that I'm going to do, and then just some lounging here in the beach where I live, do some fishing, do some nothing. And then after that vacation, I'm flying out 2 weekends in a row to Los Angeles for the Emmy Awards, all of which is to say, I don't know how anyone is going to squeeze any work out of me the next 32 hours. I'm in so many other different, more fun places in my mind right now.
Can I tell you, Dan?
Yeah.
Yesterday was our very last table read of the season. And I am officially on hiatus as well.
For how long?
A very long time.
Yeah, yeah.
mine are not 2 weeks. Mine are like a proper summer vacation from when you were in school.
Yeah. That's excellent.
Oh, I feel so good. Oh, I just had my last real, well, that's not true. I mean, during that time, we also do have to do some work. We'll have to go in maybe like 1 day a week because we still have animatics and colors and stuff like that. And if for your particular episode, you're ushering that along as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of work to do with that. But in terms of like a every day going in, when I say going in, I mean like logging into Zoom. But in terms of every day having to work, that's over. That's over for, as far as I'm concerned, forever.
It really makes me think back to like high school and middle school and how, what did we end up doing with that time at the end of the year when like the big tests were done? I definitely remember AP tests, AP classes, because that you're really working the entire year for this test. And once the test is done, nothing else matters. And my AP statistics class, we finished that test and then I think had like, I don't know, 3 weeks, a month left of school. And the teacher just put on Family Guy every day. She like fully embraced the madness that was like, no, it doesn't matter. Like, I also can't wait for summer. I don't want to teach you right now.
I'm trying to like, I'm trying to think back on what it was like in those last few days. Yeah. And there was no work done. I can't imagine. You do like your final tests. And then after that, it was like, you'd have like these athletic days out in the field. Yeah. And then in college, of course, you took exams at the very end of the year, but then we found out after our freshman year, we were like, well, when do we have to be out of the dorms? And they're like, oh, in another 3 weeks. And we were like,
so now I just live here. Okay.
Yeah. So I live here for 3 weeks. I live here until you make me leave. Yeah. That's because I mean, where else am I going to go? Back home? I emotionally divested myself from that place months ago, back at Christmas.
Everyone at home still calls me Soren. They don't know that I'm Scott now.
They don't know that I'm English. Took me a long time to get this right. Yeah, I trying to think back on in school. It really was just like coasting. Well, congratulations, Dan. I didn't even realize you had a summer hiatus. I thought you just got your winter one.
Yeah, we get like just 2 weeks, just a solid 2 weeks in a row, and then a week where we are working but we're not putting on a show. So just like some very stress-free weeks ahead of my future, and again just a day and a half of finishing an episode of television about a very serious topic.
Yeah, right.
That's all.
That's it. And at this point, you must be like, when I say you're like a senior writer, but you got that title because you're a good writer. Are you like technically a senior writer? Are you now one of the oldest people there?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I am. You've
been there the longest.
One other writer has been there longer than me by about a year. And then two of us are tied for the second oldest. And then two more are also very old. and then a bunch of young writers. Old in terms, like, and it works both ways, like old in terms of how long we've been there. And I believe our oldest writer at 36 years old.
Jeez.
Yeah, it sucks shit.
That's a surprise. I mean, most shows, regardless, even late night, it's not exclusively young people, right? Like they have some guys on staff generally that are like in the 40s and
50s. Lifers, yeah. I think today we were talking about McGruff the crime dog in Slack, and someone mentioned, they were like, today I learned that McGruff had like a Scrappy-Doo. He had Scruff, his young buddy. And I go, yeah, Scruff, McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Because that was like a jingle from a commercial that played constantly in my childhood. And the reason I know a Chicago zip code today is because it was so everywhere. And I slacked that. And then I wrote, if you know, you know, parenthetically, like thinking someone would recognize and give this an emoji of like, ah, yes, I also have that stuck in my head forever. And just nobody. I was met with a resounding, we don't know, so we don't know. No one is as old as you have ever been.
Yeah, it is startling every once in a while at my job where there are people who have been there a lot longer than me, but I will find out just in passing that they're like 4 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, hey, wait, how did you get on this track so early?
Yeah. Someone a few days ago was like, what the fuck are devil sticks? And I was like, it's the thing we all had, every one of us.
You had them, I guarantee it. Yeah. Anyone who went to a state fair got hippie sticks.
Yeah. Hey, do you know something interesting? Have you heard about this? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Have you seen this? Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. If you're suffering from way too many subscriptions syndrome, there is a way out. You don't even have to talk to anyone. It's the best. Let Truebill do the work and set you free, like the truth does. Average users save $720 a year using Truebill. Truebill is a new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply, like I do often, forgot about. Companies make subscriptions hard to cancel on purpose. Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap, tap, tap. Truebill has over 2 million users and helped save them over $100 million. Listen to one of their users, Matthew B., who says, in a matter of seconds, I saved $660 for the year on my DirecTV bill, saved $120 for the year on my Sirius XM bill, and saved, ready, $840 a year on my car insurance. Truebill is here to save money for you, to cancel those pesky renewals that just keep popping up without your consent. I love Truebill. They're the best. You should use them. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/QQ. Go right now. Truebill.com/QQ. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/QQ.
Oh, it's that time again. It's that time when I sit down with you and I say, what's holding you back? But hold on, this time I'm not finished. What's holding you back from that ultimate gaming experience? Is it the hundreds of dollars it would cost for you to set up? Or are you just too busy? Are you the on-the-go type and you've only got minutes to spare for gaming? Well, level up your game with Backbone, the universal gaming essential that lets you instantly play hundreds of console games on your phone. Obviously not at the same time, one at a time. No console required. Hey, I get it. With the busyness of life, sometimes it's go, go, go. Leaving you no time to sit back and play your favorite video games, let alone eat or sleep. Who has time for that anymore? Well, I can't help you with eating and sleeping, but with Backbone, you can take your gaming world with you no matter where you go in the real world. I love my Backbone. I started playing on it and I realized, ooh, these buttons got a nice pop on them. I was a little worried about it, thinking it was so light and flimsy, but then I put it on my phone and it actually felt very good. It felt like a real controller. And I get good response from my buttons. I love that bounce back. I love playing games with my Backbone. And hey, if you don't own a console, but you want to get back into gaming, it's no problem. You can stream hundreds of games like FIFA, Halo, Minecraft, and more through cloud gaming services like Xbox Game Pass, NVIDIA GeForce Now, and Google Stadia. Or if you do have a console and you want to switch back and forth between your playing on the console and say you're on vacation, you want to bring your Backbone, you can do that. And for the Diablo fans, Backbone is now the official partner of Diablo Immortal. Not only is the game specifically optimized for Backbone, but you'll also receive $10 of in-game perks. This, in addition to everything else Backbone is currently offering for our listeners, free access to over 350 console games, plus free subscriptions to Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, Apple Arcade, and Google Stadia Pro. All you got to do is go to playbackbone.com/QQ. That's all kinds of perks you can get. Free access to over 350 console games and perks, free subscriptions to Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, Apple Arcade, and Google Stadia. And this is for a limited time, folks, when you go to our link, playbackbone.com/QQ. That's depressing. But we're not here to depress people. We're here for good news, Daniel.
Yeah.
And you really glossed over your good news, which is you're coming to Los Angeles. And not just for any old stupid birthday or something along those lines. This fucking trip means something.
This is, yeah, so the show, thankfully, was nominated for an Emmy Award.
Pew, 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 pew.
Pew, pew, pew. We got a number of awards for directing and editing and production design as well. Overall show and outstanding writing, which
there
is our fun category. And this is a conversation I've had to have a bunch of times with friends because it's not a thing that's super clear. So as quickly as possible, the way the Emmys work, the primetime Emmys, there are that ceremony of recognition for awards in this evening space is spread across a couple of different events within 2 weeks of each other every year. There's the primetime Emmys that you see on television, and there's the Creative Arts Emmys that happens the weekend before that show. And the primetime Emmys are the thing you know. You're always going to get best comedy, best drama, best actor, best actress, supporting, directing, all of the, like the big hit things that I think it's not condescending to say a general television viewer would care about most. The Creative Arts Ceremony is more niche. There's a lot of technical awards that always live in the Creative Arts Ceremony, and there are also a couple of categories that bounce back and forth between Creative Arts and Primetime every year. It's every other year, and it's like, one of them happens to be the writing for late night variety category. So sometimes our category is in primetime, sometimes it's creative arts. It's the same reason that sometimes you'll see somebody win best guest actor in a comedy and drama. You'll see that televised 1 year and not the next year. It's because that category, like ours, bounces back and forth. This happens to be a year where our category is in the Creative Arts Ceremony, which is a very long-winded way of saying we get to go to the Emmys twice. We get to go as writers to the Creative Arts Ceremony and wear tuxedos and dresses and go to a fancy party where they hand out trophies and you get to see other people in your field. And then we all fly home to our homes. And then we fly back out again to celebrate with the show as staff for the primetime Emmys to see if the show wins in the larger category. And again, fancy party, trophies, celebrities, hotels.
Are they held at the same place?
Yes.
Okay. Are you allowed to wear the same thing to both events?
What do you think? I asked the gentleman in our Slack, what are we doing, guys? Are we wearing the same thing to both ceremonies? Are we changing it up in any way? And I got no response. This is beginning to sound like I'm slacking into a void and none of my coworkers respond to anything I say.
Are you just a conversation killer in there? Generally the conversation just die as soon as you say anything?
I think that's what I'm learning. Oh my God, the super old guy who's always talking about cartoons no one remembers wants to know what we're going to wear. Jesus, don't ask the kids for fashion advice, you idiot.
I think so with a tuxedo.
Yeah.
There's very little difference between tuxedos, especially the type of tuxedos that someone like you would wear. I mean, I think that there's white and black, and those are kind of like the options. Yeah. So if you wore two tuxedos, I'm not sure anyone would be able to tell the difference between them.
I wouldn't wear. So here's the things that I'm throwing up in the air that my default can always be simple black tuxedo, black tie, white tuxedo shirt. That will always be in my pocket. The options that I have, I have a black tuxedo shirt.
Oh.
And I could tell you how I got there, but I also have a black bow tie. So I do have the option, if I like two shirts and two different ties, I have the option to have two slightly different looks from one ceremony to the next, if I am bold enough to do that. I don't know if I am.
Are we talking all black?
Black on black.
With a black tie.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I know.
You're like, you're going to be like the Lamborghini.
Yeah. I was asking a coworker who's very fashionable if what she thought about this, because I was like, should I just not do it at all? Should I just do standard classic? B, if I do it, does it make more sense to wear black on black for one ceremony over the other? Or is it just like dealer's choice, whatever I want? And again, really be honest with me. Should I not wear black on black? And she was like, if you want to do that, if you want to, without making it, it's not making a statement. If you just want to, like, if you feel like it looks sharp, you could do it. And I think that's totally fine. That's totally acceptable. And then she sent me a picture of Ryan Reynolds in a black on black tuxedo. And I'm like, well, what the fuck am I? Yeah, he looks great. You're right. That's a great look for him.
At least she gave you an answer. Yeah. Right? You're not exclusively shouting into the void.
No, well, I asked her privately. You're allowed to talk to the nerd privately. You just can't do it. You can't do it at the cafeteria.
All right, I'm looking at some pictures of black on black. It is exactly as I imagined it. It fucking rules. This is a good look, Dan.
It's awesome. This is not relatable content, but it's the whole tuxedo saga was dominated my last several days, and I'm gonna do a thing what I hate doing, which is to shit on New Jersey, this place that I love. But I went to two different tuxedo places in New Jersey, and I went in like I combed and styled my hair, like I'm doing everything that I'm gonna be doing when I go to the Emmys, and I went there with confidence and walked in like, I would like to buy a tuxedo. And it feels silly to say, but the vibes were bad in both of these places. And the first place didn't have a lot of options. And the second place, the guy was like, all right, I'll see what we have. And he brought out two like basic kind of like nothing tuxedos. He wasn't asking me anything about what I wanted or what the tuxedos were for. He was just like, yeah, put this on. And I tried on two different tuxedos. And I was like, can I see it with a shirt to see like what the whole thing will look like? He's like, we don't do that here. I'm like, oh no, of course, why would you? I should have brought my own home tuxedo shirt that we all have. And when I asked him his opinion from like one to the next, he was just like, the material's different. The one is cheaper, one's more expensive. The cheaper one that does the job. And I, again, like, hated this vibe, hated this whole atmosphere, didn't really love the tuxedo, but in talking to him about timing, he really made it seem like, first of all, they don't have a lot of tuxes there. Second of all, it's going to take a while to get alterations done, and they'll have to put a rush on it to get it back to me in time for the ceremony. So then I'm like, fuck, even if I don't have all the time in the world to shop, so let me just say yes, because what if this is a supply chain issue all over the place? I would rather have a tuxedo that makes me unhappy than show up with no tuxedo at all. But then I got home from this kind of crummy experience and called a place in New York, heard of it. And I was like, hey, what's the backlog of alterations there? And they're like, if you need it overnight, we'll get it to you overnight. And I'm like, fucking New York. God damn it. I hate that you're better than New Jersey every once in a while. And so then I went into the city for my second tuxedo fitting of the week, like some kind of maniac. And this was all good vibes all around. I can't stress enough the difference. I walk into this place, the same like styled hair and confidence, so I can feel good when I get dressed. And I say, I'm here to buy a tuxedo. And the guy says, the stylist says, What would you like a tuxedo for? And I said, the Emmy Awards. And he gives me a fist pump and he goes, my man, we're going to make you look great. You're going to look so good. And these are the guys who gassed me up. They put me in this black on black. He picked the tie for me. And like, I told him in advance, I was like, I'm a pretty classic guy, but I wanted to see if there's anything cool that I can do. Anything, any little bit of personality that I could put in there. And so he gave me like a peak lapel, which is a little bit sharper and more interesting. And he gave me a cool tie that I'm very excited about. It's a bow tie and this black shirt. And as soon as the whole thing came together, the stylist and the tailor both stepped back and they were like, "This, you don't need to see anything else. This is it. This is the look. You look great. This is what you want." And I was like, I'm going to get a white shirt too. So I have options. They're like, "Yeah, yeah, get the options. But this is it. This is your Emmy look." And I'm like, this is, there's no like not shitty way to say this. This is how I should be treated. This is correct. This is what I wanted. I wanted to feel good when I was doing this.
Yeah.
And it felt great. I did still, of course, get the backup white shirt in case I all the magic leaves my eyes when there aren't strangers telling me that it looks good. But This is how I might wind up being black on black, like Ryan Reynolds, my doppelganger.
You what? I sent you another picture. I emailed you another picture of somebody who's a little bit more pedestrian wearing it.
This is Chris Hemsworth.
Somebody a little lower of a bar, closer.
The funny thing about this picture is that it doesn't, he's not on a red carpet. Like his backdrop is not like one of those formal backdrops that you see. It really looks like someone looked down from their balcony and was like, "Hey, is that Chris Hemsworth in the garden?" And he looked up perfectly in a black on black tuxedo. It's like, "Yes, it is me. Take a picture."
No,
like this is just his evening wear.
He's also flirting with what a tuxedo is there, because he's got on a long tie with it, which I didn't think was allowed. I thought the police
didn't allow it. It can because I'm now collecting things that are said to me when I try on tuxedos to make me self-conscious. The first time I got a tuxedo for the Emmys in 2019,
I remember
the guy said, I said, "Should I wear a bow tie?" And he said, I wouldn't with your face shape. I was like, okay.
Oh.
So that's why I wore a long tie, because of my face shape. But now my face shape has changed, so I can wear a bow tie. So that was the first self-conscious thing. And this self-conscious thing this year, when I was in the Jersey place and the tailor was adjusting the slacks, he said, "You have a lot of thigh." I was like, "What?" And he's like, "No, it's just...
It goes on for miles.
It's not a bad thing. You just have a lot of thigh."
You'd be good eating in the end. In a plane crash, you're my first choice for a meal.
If it's not a bad thing and it's not a thing I can do anything about,
then don't fucking
say. You could just not tell me.
He was so arrested by it that it just came out of his mouth.
"Look, I'm a tailor. I've been doing this 16 years. I've seen everything. You have the most thigh there's ever been."
"I can't. It's so big, I can't even see the curvature of it. It just looks flat to me for miles." Well, Daniel, I remember that conversation that we had the first time you got your tuxedo and how excited I was for you. I assume you wore that one again, because we thought, one-off, like, oh, great, you got a tuxedo, you're going to the Emmys, you got your Emmy, now die. Like, that's it, that's the end of your life. But then you continued to win Emmys. So did you continue to wear that tuxedo?
No, we got that tuxedo for the 2019 Emmys, and then 2020 COVID, 2021 COVID reduced audience. So this is...
Oh, my this second, is your first time.
My second in-person Emmys in my life, the first since COVID.
And your boss hasn't yet told you you're not allowed to go again.
Yes, yeah.
That's good.
And like, he better not, because I bought two tuxedos this week.
This is so exciting.
Yeah. I want to be absolutely clear for my parents listening. I got a refund on the first tuxedo. I'm not being a crazy person. I think that's one of the other wonderful things about this Jersey tuxedo place, that I called them from the city as soon as I got the good tuxedo. And I was like, "I'm so sorry to do this. I know I already paid for it and you like marked we're going to make the alterations. I no longer need this tuxedo and I would like a refund." And the guy's like, "Yeah, sure. You want a refund for the cufflinks too?" I'm like, "No. All right. We'll mail you a check."
I just couldn't care less. That's great. Now, here's a serious question. You don't have to answer if you don't want to.
Okay.
Your old tuxedo, have you tried it on again recently? And does it even fit you anymore?
I have not tried it on recently. It is stored in my brother's closet. And I do not imagine it would fit, because I've changed body shapes from 2019 to now.
Yeah, even
I'm doing like some pretty interesting things with the amount of arms, and my chest is upside down now. Yeah. And my como se dice, my buttocks switched.
Okay. Left. It's good to rotate the cheeks every once in a while.
And so
you don't want to get too much tread on one side.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like every 4 months with your mattress, every 36 years with your butt cheeks, you swap them.
Yeah.
So the tux wouldn't, there's no reason for that tux to fit. And so.
Even the last time that I saw you, and no, mm-hmm. this is the penultimate time that I saw you, because okay. the last time I saw you, we didn't wear suits. But the time before that, we went to a wedding. Mm-hmm. And I noticed then, even, that your suit was not fitting as well as it used to. That you were swimming in it more than you had been previously.
Yeah.
And at this point, your body has changed even more. I can't imagine any of your suits fit anymore.
I don't even remember the last time. I guess the last time I wore a suit was when I saw you wearing a suit. I guess I could try them on. I mean, I have no cause to wear suits anymore, but you're probably right. They probably don't fit anymore.
So I went in the other direction. I had been wearing for a very long time my wedding suit, which I got married in 2012. And then it wasn't until maybe that wedding where I was like, maybe I'll wear a gray suit. And I put it on. I was like, I can't wear a gray suit. This just doesn't fit me anymore. And I just didn't fit in it. And then I had to buy a new suit. But I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking. So can I say that I'm buying a tuxedo as well?
Oh, yeah. What for?
Oh, I'm going to the Emmys.
Oh, tight.
Yeah. I'm going to the Emmys. It's really great. It's exciting for me.
Do you want to sit together?
We should.
We should sit together.
Well, Buddy invited me, so let me just check with him first. Okay. Yeah. Daniel has allowed me to be his date to the Emmys. He did it. He asked me in a way where he sent me a text and said, hey, I got a crazy idea for a podcast. And I was like, okay. And then he called me. and then on the phone, he goes, hey, I'm coming out for the Emmys. Do you want to go to the primetime Emmys? And I was like, in my head thinking, ah, man, I just don't know if that has legs for like a whole separate podcast. I was like, are you sure you want to? But and also, like, wouldn't you want to invite someone you want to be there? Like, you should invite somebody you want to go with.
Yeah, I don't want to blow up your spot. It's very funny to me that what you actually said was, are you sure you don't want to use this? Which is so funny that you're like, you're seeing it for me as an opportunity. There's like, no. This is this isn't a plus one for a wedding in my 20s. And it's not like a company Christmas party where I'm like really trying to impress a girl. It's like an Emmys that I want to share with someone close to me.
Well, I'm deeply thankful that you invited me, Daniel. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
And I started shopping for a tuxedo and very quickly had to Google on my phone, what's the difference between a suit and a tuxedo? Because it wasn't registering for me. And they're like, you know, obviously that a tuxedo is like satin heavy.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that's necessarily true anymore. It feels like there's like some Vera Wang ones and stuff that are like, nah, we don't do satin anymore.
Yeah.
So what I got
when you say Vera Wang, sorry to interrupt. Peach. Sorry to interrupt with Vera Wang, but it's tuxedo. I think most people who work in tuxedo shops should, just by the very virtue of what they do, they should be aware that they have more knowledge about their thing than anyone else who's going to be buying one by miles. Yeah. Normal people, I know how it sounds after this story that I've told. Most people don't buy lots of tuxedos, and I am one of those people. So when I'm trying on a tuxedo and I'm like, what's the difference with this one? And the guy goes, it's a Vera Wang. It's like, okay.
It doesn't mean shit to me.
Understand that a normal person doesn't buy a tuxedo a year.
Right. Here's what would be helpful. Yeah. You grade it based on prestige television. You tell me if this is like an Ozark tuxedo or if this is like a another shot. Like,
it's like if you're shopping for a coffin and they're like, whatever makes you comfortable. It's like, no, no, no. This is the one I'm getting. I'm only going to get one. I haven't like tried out a bunch before this. You are the expert and you need to be generous with your expertise.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you're tuxedo shopping.
I'm tuxedo shopping. I went and looked at a few. Well, I went and looked at a couple of different stores. I wouldn't say that I looked at a couple of different tuxedos. A lot of them look the same. This.
Yeah.
I am appalled at how little option there is for men. Now, I do have a quick question for you because it didn't occur to me before. Most tuxedos have a cummerbund. Are you wearing a cummerbund or can you just wear a vest and you're good?
I'm doing suspenders. I'm not doing a cummerbund at all.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I feel like cummerbund feels really played out.
Yeah.
That's old. That's like from, I remember the cummerbund in Peter Pan. Dad's trying to go out to dinner.
That's right.
Night.
Yeah.
I don't want to be Peter Pan's dad. I mean, Wendy's dad.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And then you don't do a three piece. You don't wear a vest.
No, I've thought about it, but I decided against it. You are right about how like few options there are to stand out unless you want to be like pretty ostentatious.
Right.
Like when I start with like, I want a simple black thing, but I'm also like open to something a little bit wilder. The options are like, you go from 0 to 60 in a second. It's like, well, you could wear a simple black one with this lapel, or you can wear this like bright blue one with flames on the back. No.
Yeah. Yeah. The chasm is wide between normal and a little flamboyant.
Yeah. I guess if my options are Dodge Caravan or Truckosaurus, I'll take Dodge Caravan and maybe I'll just get like a cool hood ornament.
Yeah, there's real. I'm thinking like opportunities to demonstrate any aspect of yourself, to put a fingerprint on the tuxedo at all, is really the pocket square. And even then, like that's pretty bold if you did like something other than just a white pocket square.
You could do something with cufflinks.
Yeah, so cufflinks and a tie. And it was socks, I guess. Socks are really your other opportunity. But man, oh, I had another question for you about tuxedo shopping, Daniel. Do you have to wear patent leather shoes or shiny black shoes with a tux? It feels like I've never seen anything other than that.
You don't have to, in the sense that you can do whatever you want. I think like known sneakerhead Josh Gondelman has famously worn like Converse, not Converse, but like,
sneakers.
Yeah, like sneakers, just like his nicest, weirdest sneakers. The guy loves sneakers. He spends a lot of money on them and has like a vast sneaker collection, and wore them to the Emmys. I think if as he has committed your identity around it, you can pull it off. If it answers your question, I am going to wear the standard, whatever tuxedo shoes are expected of me to wear. Okay. I look at my comfortable shoes, the shoes that I know would make me happy. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, guys. I know.
Not today.
I'm choosing to be sad all night.
Yeah.
Very happy to have you going there. So there's the two ceremonies. I've got my brother David going to the Creative Arts. We're both very excited about that. And then bringing you to the Prime Time. Very excited about that.
It's
going to be lots of fun. I did realize calling you is a very strange thing to do. For two people who spend hours talking to each other every single week or every other week, being on the phone together is very strange.
Yeah.
And like, as the phone was ringing, I'm like, I'm going to give him some good news today. This is going to be one of those good phone calls. And then as soon as the information had been exchanged and it was clear that you understood what was going on, I was like, okay, well, all right, man, well, you sit with this now. I got to go. I you know.
Yeah. Tuxedo shopping, I was very tempted to try to terrify you several different times. Like, I wanted to be like, I got one. It's red. But like, it's barely not black. It's like it's very deep red. So everything's good. Dan just found out that it's actually a suit, but it turns out that you just need to get a shiny lapel. I've got boxing tape. I'm going to be doing that.
There are certainly a lot of ways to freak a person out about that.
Yeah, if they're your guest, absolutely. Yeah. But I'm very excited to be going. I can't fucking wait. I'm so pumped about it. And also, I know some of your coworkers. Oh, well, I know Cena.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see them.
Yeah, they're great folks. You're gonna you'll meet people I've talked about on this podcast before, and maybe you'll meet my boss. I don't actually know. I mean, he'll be there. He's got to be there. It's a work thing. Maybe you'll meet him. And otherwise, it's just it's gonna be fun. I mean, it's I don't want to get too like sappy on this, but when trying to figure out who to bring to something like this, like who's gonna have fun and who's gonna be fun, who's gonna like alleviate my anxiety if that happens, and like generally, well, this won't be too sappy. If I need to, who can I just leave somewhere?
No, I'm honored to be that.
Who can I stick amongst my coworkers and not worry it's going to explode and I can just go off and do something?
Yeah, somebody who is going to be fine. No, that's very kind of you. Thank you, Daniel.
Yeah,
you told me specifically on the call, you said, I quote, I crunched the numbers. I think I'd like to invite you. And I realized after the call that I should have asked you, well, who's going to be there? Because that would have been a fun question. Unfortunately, it wasn't in the moment.
It was a real ambush. I wanted to ask you on the podcast, but the timing didn't work out.
Yeah.
Because we like just found out that we could go to the Primetime Emmys.
Whoa.
And yeah, don't worry about that. and so like even weirder than calling you on the phone would have been like, early on a Monday morning, you're like, hey, emergency. I need to do the podcast right now. I need to record this instant.
That would have been troubling. Yeah,
When summer starts to wind down, fall can get a bit chaotic. But Factor's ready-to-eat meal delivery makes it easy to stay on top of a busy schedule while still sticking to my goals. Factor's the perfect meal solution for an on-the-go lifestyle like mine. Whether it's a quick lunch at my desk between Zooms or a fully prepared dinner that I didn't have to shop for, prep for, or clean up after, they've got me covered for weeks when free time just isn't a thing. Factor sent me a bunch of meals, and they have a deal for you. Get $130 off across six boxes when you head to go.factor75.com/QQ130 and use code QQ130. Factor's great. Factor makes lunch and dinner on busy days a total breeze. Their fresh, never frozen meals are delivered, ready to heat and eat in truly 2 minutes, so I can fuel up fast and get on with my day. When things get extra busy, Factor is flexible. Change your order up every week with plans from 4 to 18 meals per week, or pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. Factor even works with my very specific preferences. I cannot have dairy or eggs. It's not as simple as saying vegan. Vegan would be like a very clear path, but I still like to eat meat. So I gave them that curveball. I said, hey, no eggs, no dairy. And they delivered with six perfect meals that fit my dietary restrictions. They offer vegan and veggie, protein plus, keto, and calorie smart options too, and cold pressed juices, smoothies, energy bites, extra protein, veggie sides, you name it, and more to keep me fueled and focused all day long. Factor puts the work in so I don't have to. Their registered dietitians and expert chefs work hand in hand to create meals I can feel good about eating every day. Factor is great. It is not hard for me to endorse this company, this service. They sent me a bunch of meals and smoothies. I ate and drank every single one of them. It didn't taste like I was just eating some frozen food dish from the supermarket. It felt fresh. It looked great. It was Instagrammable. You can cook it in 2 minutes, put it on a plate, take a picture and say you made it and people will be very impressed. Or you can just eat it and you'll be very impressed because it tastes really good. I made the chili spice tempeh and lentil bowl. I had Italian sausage pepperonata. They were both great and so many other meals I had were great and I can't wait to talk to you about them in the future. But you gotta get your own. Head to go.factor75.com/QQ130 and use code QQ130 to get $130 off across six boxes. I'm going to do it slower this time because it's a long one. That's code QQ130 at go.factor75.com/QQ130 for $130 off.
I've also, just in looking at tuxedo shops, I don't know what's a good tuxedo shop. And I know that there is a difference, that there's like ones that, because I have no frame of reference for brands or anything like that with these, I walk into a tuxedo shop and I'm like looking for signs immediately, little red flags that I'm like, this is one of the cheap ones.
Yeah.
This isn't the spot. but I don't ever know. I can't tell yet.
Have you thought about Cufflinks' situation?
Not really, no.
Have you thought about studs on the shirt versus
yes.
not? Okay, what's your plan there?
Well, I want to see how it looks because yeah. I have a feeling that those like shiny black buttons might be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But you never know. I mean, once you see it on yourself, you're like, mm-mm, mm-mm.
Yeah. I don't personally like those and I didn't wear them. I went with one of the shirts that is like, it has buttons, but a white flap that covers up the buttons so you don't have to see them. And when I was shopping this time around at the junky place in Jersey, the guy like pulled out the one shirt he had that had the studs on it. And I was like, and he was like, here you go. This is the shirt for you. And I was like, oh, I was wondering if you had any of those ones with the white flap. Like, nah, nobody does that. All right.
I love this guy.
What if this was my wedding, man? or like counterpoint, what if it was the Emmys? This is, everyone wears tuxedos for special things.
Yeah. I'm looking at the black snap button. It looks like a snap button, but it's like that black shirt thing. I think I kind of dig it. I think I want that.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't put any thought into any of that yet.
Have you put any thought into your speech?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, that's been written for ages. I'm very excited. Oh, man. Oh, what a treat it would be to get up on that stage without you. Just waving from the back. And so everyone's like, what the fuck? Because only the people who know us would ever notice. Everybody else would be like, yeah, that's the Last Week Tonight crew.
Yeah, that looks like them. Yeah, sure. So I wonder, I hope our shared excitement about finally bringing Quick Question to the Emmys after all this time, Quick Question going to the primetime Emmys. I hope that excitement overshadows perhaps our least accessible podcast, exclusively about award ceremonies and tuxedo shopping.
About working out and tuxedos.
Yeah. Just... I'm gonna hit the improv tonight and do some relatable 5 minutes. But you know how when you're tuxedo shopping and the guy's like, you have so much thigh and the vibes are bad, so you go to the other tuxedo place where they say, my man, and give you a fist bump? Has that ever happened to you guys?
Well, to be fair, it's impossible to have lived experiences right now. They just don't exist right now. So it's fine. It's the same way I read new like David Sedaris stuff when it comes out. And I'm like, oh, okay. His life is no longer fun to me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's no longer interesting and cool. It's like, I liked it when he was an elf and he was down and out. But this is, he's got trouble in like one of his living rooms. And I'm like, ah, I'm done with this.
Right. He can't decide, do I want to spend the summer at my Paris house or my Hamptons house? I was like, why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you go fuck yourself? Why don't you stay up your ass?
But yeah, I'm so excited. I'm sorry that we're talking about this on the podcast right now because it's completely unrelatable, but boy am I pumped to be
you know what, this also
princess
serves
for a day.
This serves as a fun preview because we'll also do a podcast after the Emmys. You bet your stupid asses, listeners. So
yeah,
strap in.
Yeah, talk about all the famous people we see. Wow, I hugged Ellie Kemper, and I should not have hugged Ellie Kemper.
Mm-hmm.
All those things.
My friends, separate friends, have asked me, what are you going to do? Because they know that the two of us are going. And they're like, what are you going to say on the podcast if you overhear something juicy from a celebrity in the bathroom? And the specificity that both different people were like, so when you hear... the celebrities in the bathroom, what are you gonna do in the bathroom? I was like, I don't think you've been to a men's room before.
that doesn't really happen.
Yeah, no, I really don't expect to be in the bathroom and just turn and someone be like, oh man, it's such a shame I killed that person. I'm so dumb. Hi, I'm Brian Cox, it's nice to meet you
right
here in the toilet. It's just so good to talk.
Who are you talking to, Brian? We're the only ones here, and I came in, you were mid-conversation. I feel like Brian Cox might have killed somebody at some point anyway.
Yeah.
That's not surprising.
I forgive him.
Oh, and he'll be there. Oh, that's so exciting. Of course he'll be there.
Yeah, man. And our friend Carmen Angelica from crack.com days is going to be there too, because she has been, I don't know if everybody knows this, but she is a segment producer, segment director for The Daily Show, and they're also nominated. So we're going to have a little mini Cracked reunion.
But she's the enemy at this point, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just, I want to know where I stand with her.
Sure.
I'm on your team.
Good.
And so I can't be, if I see her, I'm going to, I'll poke her in the eye or something.
Jesus
Christ. Oh, wait, she wears glasses. I'm gonna think of something.
Yeah.
Something I can do to her. But yeah. Emmys, I'm very excited. I can't wait also for you to be in Los Angeles, too. I bet you're going to be jam-packed with stuff here, but we should hang out.
Yeah, we should. Not just at the Emmys. You mean just like hang out in real life around the Emmys?
Yeah, when we're not wearing tuxedos.
Yeah, that's true. We should do that. We can get Sloppy Joes.
It just occurred to me too that we should wait. What?
You can't. You can't eat Sloppy Joe and have a tuxedo. You might spill it.
Okay. Very good. Point.
I'm thinking of like, what are the things we won't be able to do when we're wearing tuxedos? Sloppy Joes, swimming.
Yeah. Lift our arms more than 45 degrees. That's up right. In the air. yeah. It occurred to me that. Fuck. Oh, I lost it. Can't even remember what I was going to say to you.
It seemed like it was going to be a good one.
Yeah, it was. Gold. It was pure gold.
Damn.
It's gone now. but yeah, we'll hang out when you're here. You could, and you're coming with your brother first.
Yes.
Where
Creative Arts is the ceremony before the weekend before the primetime. Yeah.
And are you staying at the same hotel too for both?
Different hotels.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How close are you to Culver City?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, how
close is downtown to Culver City?
Far. I wouldn't start in Culver City if you're going to go downtown.
Yeah, I never spend any time in downtown. So now that we're there for the Emmys, it's very much not the Los Angeles that I spent 11 years in.
Yeah, it is interesting when you like lose touch with a city or like your finger comes off the pulse. I have a friend, Lindy West, who wrote that book Shrill, and she's had a television show on Hulu.
Yeah,
she was in Aspen just briefly. And like a mutual friend of ours was like, oh, Lindy's in Aspen giving a speech right now. And I was like, oh, cool. So I texted her. I was like, Lindy, you're my old stomping grounds. And she was like, oh, hey, yeah, that's great. What should I do? And I was like, you know, I can't recommend a single restaurant to you because I have no idea what's there anymore. I can't even tell you like fun things to do there because everything I did, I was 9 years old when I did it. I'm useless to you, but hey, have fun.
I did stop there. It's true that I stomped there.
Very much. It was a haunt. I haunted and stomped. But yeah, I don't know. If you are going to be around and you're going to be in this area,
yeah,
there are Culver City steps, which are very fun to run.
Ooh, that does
and
sound fun.
I could also take you on my traditional run, which is, you know, it's all mapped up. So if you're like, I'm like, you want to do a 2.2, you want to do 4.3, you want to do a 6 mile run, like I can give you all of those.
Oh, love to have run options. It's so strict here in Jersey. Yeah. Everything's only exactly 3 miles long. It sucks.
What are you doing now? Like when you go on a run, what's a good run for you?
I am doing at least a 5K every single day of the week. And sometimes the most I'll get up to now is like 6, but I'm hell bent on getting faster and faster on my 5Ks.
Okay. Is that 2.2?
What 5K is 3.1.
Oh, 3.1.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll do like 4 or 5 a couple of times a week just because if I'm not feeling like it's going to be a fast day, then it's like, all right, well, I'll get a couple more miles in just to spend more time running on the boards. But I'm so hyper-focused on getting faster. Because I've got this the 5K that I did last year where I wanted to beat my PR, that's going to be coming up again in October. And I have a number in mind that I want to hit again. and just see if like if that can be my annual. I'll do, you know, 10 races a year anyway, but like that's going to be my annual benchmark of trying to beat myself on record every year.
Yeah.
What do you do when you run?
Very specific, because I run in my gym. I don't just go on runs anymore. I run 2.2 miles in my gym, work out, and then run 2.2 miles back.
Perfect.
And that's it. It's awful. It's never something I enjoy. It's never something I like to go to.
That 2.2 run back, man, that's the exact distance of my gym too. And I've done that run before, and that sucks shit.
The run back is, and also there's a Sidecar Donuts right at my gym.
Uh-oh.
Too. So every day I see it and I'm like,
yeah.
Let me just see what they've got in there. Oh, some sort of passion fruit option with a mascarpone cream. I mean, I don't even know what those things are. That sounds incredible. I would love to try that. Okay, bye. Yeah, it looks great. But 2.2 on the way back is just brutal. Yeah. In the sun too, in the summer, it's rough. But these are my options right now. So I'm trying to get really in shape for the Emmys. Also, directly following the Emmys is a end of the year trip for my office.
Yeah.
And so I gotta make all of them insanely jealous of my
Absolutely.
Body.
Yeah. I'm glad none of my coworkers listen to this, because it is a strange thing when I'm thinking about going to the Emmys. I mean, you're in a tux, so like a lot of your work is done for you. But when I'm not in the tux, I'm at the hotel where all of my coworkers are also staying. And some of the coworkers I've never met before, and some of them I hardly ever see because we're all remote. And there's a pool at the hotel, and I'm trying to get really into really good shape, but like to string that out logically to its conclusion, it's like for my coworkers, what am I doing? What's the I want them, the one time they see me a year, for them to be like, oh, he's worked out since 2019. Good for him.
Yeah. You want, the conversation should not go, oh, you look really good. Why? Because then you have to be like,
for you.
And you understand it's for you.
For this exact moment.
Did you think I'd like this? No, I thought you would hate it. That was the point. I want you to hate it. Is that weird? All right. Well, I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to get really.
Yeah, you got time.
I also scheduled a haircut specific for the.
I did too. Because we talked about how bad I am at scheduling haircuts. So like 3 weeks ago, I was like, my flight is September 1st. So the day before that, I'm getting this in the fucking books now so I can get this haircut.
I'm trying to decide if I should wear a watch or not. There's a lot going on in my brain where I'm like, I'm Belle the Ball for a whole night. I'm Cinderella. Yeah. What do I wear? So excited.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for this opportunity, Daniel.
Got it, man. I hope people like hearing about the Emmys, because
that's all it's going to be.
They want it.
If you, and this is important, if in your room they give you one of those little chocolate, hey, it's the Emmys thing again, where it's like a gift basket and there's a bunch of weird fucking fondant with writing on it.
Yes.
I want to eat your fondant. I want that fondant. Yeah.
That's fine.
Just, I'm calling it now.
Yeah. The show is Quick Question, but you knew that already. We are recorded, edited, and produced by the irreplaceable Gabe Harder. Our theme song is by the incredible Mirex. Their digital album is available at mirex.bandcamp.com. You could find Soren on Twitter at Soren_LTD, or me at DOB_INC, or the show at QQ_Soren and Dan. Email the show at QQ with Soren and Daniel@gmail.com. We also have a Patreon that you could find probably at Patreon/...
Quick Question.
Quick Question? Great. Gabe Harder does not have a website. He has a website for his mom's book. How's mom's books doing, Gabe?
Mom's book is doing great.
Hell yeah.
You heard it here first. Well, that's it.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
I've got a quick question for you. All right, I want to hear your thoughts. I want to know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you. All right, the answer's not important. I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
Friends and comedy writers. If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.